All right. Good morning, everybody. I want to thank you for your prayers last week. I got through the week. I was supposed to speak 11 times. It was only 10. I did have one cancel after I drove there. They told me, sorry, we're closed. We have COVID. And there's no signs on the door saying that they have COVID. So it's like, well, okay. So I gave them my number, which I've done in the past as well. So hopefully I get a call this week. And then I had three close calls driving as well. Three accidents. I even had just one person backing up on Route 22 in my lane. And thankfully I was able to quickly get off. avoid that accident. I only have one car that can get me around, and that's the one I'm in. I don't want to wreck it. And there's been all these close calls. But I can praise the Lord that he has watched over me all these times. Let's start with prayer this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. Thank you for the seven churches, for the letters you wrote through the Apostle John. And what, Lord, as we finish up this letter to the church at Matches, Philadelphia today, Lord, help us to understand what was taking place. You help us, Lord, to understand the good things that this church was doing and the promises that you gave to this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. All right. Revelation 3, please. Turn to Revelation 3. Yeah. And we're beginning in verse 7. And this is what it says. I'll just wait till you get there. Revelation 3, verse 7. And it says, just to the angel of the church in this Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, and he who is true, and he who has the key of David, he who opens, and what no one shuts. And what shuts, and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of what trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Then he says, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Yeah. And he shall go, and he shall go out no more. Yeah. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Then Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's review last week a little bit. I've got a couple slides for that. Revelation 3:8. And Jesus said, I know thy works. And of course, Jesus said this to all the churches. There is nothing hidden from the Lord. He knows absolutely everything. Then he says to this church, behold, or look, see. Jesus wants them wants this church to see. He is giving them an open door, and no man can shut it. Look at the verse again. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. What a privilege to have an open door and be used by the Lord. This church had that open door. Then Jesus says positive things about the church of Philadelphia. Revelation 3:8. For thou hast a little strength. Then he says, yes, and yeah. Excuse me. Man, allergies are all of a sudden flaring. And has kept my word. And then thirdly, just he says, and has not denied my name. Three things this church did. They've got strength. It's a little, but they've got some. They have kept God's word. They have obeyed. They have not denied his name. They remain following God. They've not denied him. And then verse 9, Jesus makes a promise. I will make them. This is in just reference just to the synagogue of Satan. And what, notice, they will come and worship before your feet. And I will mention, wouldn't it be wonderful if our unsaved family members came trusting Christ and they worshiped with us? What a blessing that would be. This church had their enemies coming before them to worship together. Now, why would this happen? And what Jesus tells them. Because you have kept my command to persevere. This church didn't give up. This church continued to fight the good fight of faith. They persevered. They were witnessing. They were seeing things take place. Jesus was about to make their enemies bow before them. In other words, they would worship the Lord together. That's where we ended last week. And so we're going to pick it up there. Why was the reward? What was the reward for keeping the command to persevere? Next, what part of the verse? I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. That word keep means to watch over protectively, guard, to attend to carefully. And now I saw that this week. Three instances. I could have been in an accident very easily. Just like that. Thursday, Friday, and coming here this morning. But God was watching over me. And thank God he does. Now, they were small things, okay? They were minor things. Just compared to what this church would go through. That word hour in that verse, that means any definite time, point of time, or what moment. There was a time coming when there would be testing, a tribulation, it says. Joseph Benson says, just the word hour denotes the short time of its continuance. In what view of eternity, this is a short time, okay? Back to that verse. Oops. Back to that verse again. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world. And that word trial there means temptation, just putting to proof by experiment of good or experience of evil. Just elicitation, just discipline or provocation. Adam Clark says, many understand by the hour of temptation, the persecution under Trajan, which was greater and more extensive than the preceding ones under Nero. And with Domitian. And David Guzik, he says, other scholars see this hour of trial as a prophetic reference to the messianic woes, the great tribulation which precedes Jesus' earthly kingdom. Jesus promises to keep these Christians from that hour of trial. B.W. Johnson kind of combines them both together here. He says, of what stern and what cruel trial, and some great crisis of what trial and sorrow just which should come on all the world. We may not know just what our Lord referred to, but we can believe that he fulfilled his promise. God keeps his promises. No matter what it is, God keeps his promises to us. Whether it was under Trajan or if it's the Great Tribulation, God keeps his promises, period. Jesus would keep them from this time of trial. What an encouragement to this church. What an encouragement. There was great persecution during this time of the seven churches. Great persecution. Synagogue of Satan was active. But yet God what promised to keep them, to guard them. What was this trial for? To test those who live on the earth. Notice verse 10 again. To test those who dwell on the earth. And that word test means to scrutinize, examine, prove, to test for the purpose of ascertaining his quantity or just what he thinks. Or just how he will behave himself. This test is directed against those who dwell on the earth. This phrase is used 9 times in the book of Revelation. And it speaks of what those who are not saved in Jesus. It speaks of the unsaved. Walford says they were promises. Is a reward for past perseverance, not the equipping, just to persevere in the future. As far as the Philadelphian church was concerned, the rapture of the church was presented to them as an imminent hope. Don't we have that same hope? We can hold on to that hope. But Jesus doesn't end there. Then what? Jesus encourages them some more. Verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Then he says, hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Jesus again uses the word behold, which means to lo, to see. I am coming quickly. Jesus wants them to see he is coming quickly. And again, that's a promise. That word come means to appear, to make one's appearance. Someday he is coming. The one world system just we see rising up. Bob would mention that. That is the one world system rising up, which means Jesus is near. He is coming quickly. That word quickly there means shortly. That is without delay, soon, or by surprise, suddenly. Think about the seven churches. He would mention this to what some of the churches before. Jesus was to come in Ephesus. Yeah. And what Pergamum? To come as a thief. Yeah. In what Sardis? Now he comes quickly to Philadelphia. He has told four churches he's coming. He's coming. But to this church he's coming quickly. It is soon. The preacher's homiletical says, if what Christ's coming means anything, it means the introduction of a life which has no end. And just the coming of the Lord means that all the wrongdoing and the passions of men which create so much misery will have had their day. Sin is dealt with. The believer is gone. What a blessing. Adam Clark says, behold, I come quickly. These things will surely take place. And I am coming with consolations and just rewards to my faithful followers and with judgments to my adversaries. Then Jesus tells them to hold fast. Back to the verse again. Behold, I am coming quickly. You hold fast what you have. That word hold fast there means to use strength. They had little strength. And they were to use that strength. That is to seize or just retain the whole key. Lay hold on, obtain, retain. But it also means to become master of. They were to hold fast what they had so no one could take it away. The pulpit commentary says a prominent thought is the loss to the loser, not the gain to anyone else. Back to the verse again. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. And what notice, your crown. Your crown. And that word crown there means stepho. To twine you or wreath. What chaplet. And what notice as a badge of royalty. What prize in the public games or a symbol of honor generally. But more conspicuous and elaborate than the simple fillet, a crown. This was a badge. This was a prize. This symbol, honor. And Jesus didn't want anyone to take their crown or their reward. Albert Barnes says, we need to be our own constant guard, that in a world of temptation where the enemies of truth abound, we may not be robbed of the crown that we might have worn forever. David Guzik says Jesus and encourages his saints to finish their course with victory. To play the second half just as strongly as they played the first half. I know when I was young, I could play fast and furious, right? Now that I'm old, I've slowed down quite a bit. But I still got to play strongly, don't I? Well, that is the same way with faith. Some of us start out on fire, and then it wanes in the end. Now, fight the good fight of faith. Continue. Persevere. Finish the course strongly. Jesus has a little more to say to this church. Look at verse 12. Then Jesus says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. That word overcometh means to subdue, conquer, prevail, get the victory, to carry off the victory. Jesus writes to the churches to overcome. There are things in our lives that we need to overcome. Yeah. As individuals, but also as a body, we need to overcome. The preacher's homiletical says, "You are conquerors will be recognized and acknowledged by all as entitled to his place in the New Jerusalem." In fact, look what it says in the rest of the verse. Will I make? God is about to do something. And he's going to make things happen here for these people. Notice what Jesus will do. Number one, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God? You're going to be a pillar if you overcome. Now think about Philadelphia. Think about that city. They had earthquakes. They had a volcano. Things were shaking. But you know, some of the things that stayed standing were the pillars. Straight and tall. Some 60 foot tall. Even in the earthquakes, they didn't fall. And what he is telling them, I'm going to make you a pillar. John Wesley says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I will fix him as beautiful, as what useful, and as immovable as a pillar in the church of God. Now think about those pillars. They were decorative pillars. They had fancy handiwork carved in them. They were beautiful pillars. They were decorative pillars. They were useful pillars. They held things up. And what God is going to make them like that. B.W. Johnson says, I will make a pillar. Yeah. A what term? Yeah. In what plying strength, permanence, and honor. Because sometimes names were just written in those pillars. They carved a person's name. Back to the verse. Secondly, Jesus said that he shall go out, that he shall go no more out. Jameson Foster and what Brown say, the door shall be once for all shut. As is well to shut safely in forever the elect, as to shut out the lost. In heaven there is no lost people, only redeemed, saved people. Just like Noah's Ark. Think about Noah's Ark. And God told Noah, build the ark. He's 500 years old. When he was 600 years old, God would told him, get in the ark. I'm going to bring the animals. And then God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God did. No one else got in. Not one person. But only 8 people alive survived. Everybody else drowned. That's the picture here. That God is going to shut that door. Yeah. And no unbeliever is going to heaven. No, not one. Then Albert Barnes says, and he shall go no more out. That is to be our eternal abode. And just whatever of joy or felicity or glory. That bright world can furnish is to be ours. It's ours. Thirdly, and I will write upon him the name of my God. God's name is going to be on us. Albert Barnes says the name of God would be conspicuously recorded on him to show that he belonged to God. Hasn't he bought us with his own blood? And now just we have his name written on us. The pulpit commentary says, and just to write the name upon anything is a common figurative expression in just Hebrew to denote taking absolute possession of, and what making one completely his own. We will be made Christ's with his name on us. What reference may be intended to the frontlet of the high priest upon which was inscribed holiness to the Lord. And that's in Exodus 28:36, which reads, you shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the graving of a signet. And it says holiness to the Lord. Number 4. And the name of the city of my God. In the name of the city of my God, giving him a title to dwell in the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. I don't have to wear that Easton t-shirt. I've got the New Jerusalem now. Not that I have an Easton t-shirt. I wouldn't brag about that. But to have this worn, the New Jerusalem. And then fifthly, yeah, and I will write on him my new name. Jameson Foss, sitting out with Brown, says, Christ's name written on him denotes he shall be holy Christ. We belong to the Savior. We belong to the Father. We belong in the New Jerusalem. Then when Jesus closes with this letter, with this verse, verse 13. Yeah. Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear just what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Just like every other church, Jesus wants them to hear. You have an ear? Listen. Let him hear means to attend to, to consider just what is or has been said. Jesus wants them to pay attention and to continue to get it right. This church has been pretty solid. They were living in obedience. They have not denied his name. And he wants that to continue and not to fail. The other churches failed. But he wants this church to continue. David Gusick says, he who has an ear, let him hear. We all want to hear the praise and encouragement Jesus gives within the church at Philadelphia. If we would be like this church, we must stay on their foundation, which was Jesus' name and what Jesus' word. We must also depend on their source of what strength, which was Jesus, not themselves. We are to hear just what the Spirit says to the churches. May we be like this church. May we use the strength we have. May there be open doors that no man can shut. May we live in obedience to God's command. And may we not deny his name when trial and temptation come. And they will. And they are. But may we listen. And may we hear just what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this church. Lord, this was the only church. You had nothing negative to say, except possibly that they had a little strength. But they had strength. They were living in obedience. They had not denied thy name. They were persevering. They obeyed the command to persevere. And Lord, they were going to be rewarded. You said that to this church. Father, help us, Lord, to fight on. To fight the good fight of faith. Lord, to walk with you daily in Jesus' name. Amen.